In Ecclesiastes 12:9-14, these are words of Solomon, and he said, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And let's go, Lord, in prayer at this time. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the Lord, we come and with a humble heart and thank you for your love, which is far greater than that we could ever know. Your endless mercy and your matchless grace, God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, your only begotten Son, who was tortured, humiliated, and murdered upon the cross of Calvary for our sins and sins of the world. But Father, with great power, is resurrected, and now he sits at your right hand, making intercession for us until you make his enemies his footstool. We thank you, Heavenly Father, tonight for thy precious holy word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, dear God, which you sent back to us upon the promise of Jesus, Lord, to help us. Lord, to give us comfort, to teach us your word, bring it to our remembrance, and to administer unto us spiritual gifts. We thank you, Father, for all the creation, Lord, created for your enjoyment, which you allow us to enjoy. We thank you, Lord, tonight for our military. We pray you would watch over them and keep them safe wherever they are in this world. We thank you tonight for your missionaries in this world, God. Be with them and their families. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father, that they might be rewarded with fruit for their labor. We pray tonight, Heavenly Father, and ask, Lord, that you go with us. Guide us, give us peace, Lord, in this life. Lord, we pray for our nation, Lord, that we might humble ourselves before thee and repent, Lord, and turn to thee and be led by thee. We ask now that you watch over us. Forgive us, bless this reading of your word tonight. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We know that the first two messages we did were, the first one was Solomon and him on a quest to find out what was good for man. Some of you may recall that one. And the second one was on fear, which we brought a message concerning that. And this third one is on keeping his commandments. And if we would ask ourselves this question, how many of us yesterday went and visited someone in prison? How many of us went and fed a hungry person? Or who of us went and found someone naked and clothed them? Or any other number of things that you find in the scriptures? And you would begin to realize and know there is a whole lot involved in keeping the commandments of God. And we think about, we want to keep in mind something that I think is critical tonight when we think about what he says. The words mean things in the Word of God. I'm very, very particular about being sure that we signify the importance of what certain words mean. There's significance in what we're going to say tonight in several places, and that word is keep. And keep has great significance. If you look in the dictionary, the first seven definitions of keep is to observe, fulfill, protect. If you add all these to the commandments, you protect them, you keep them. He says to guard. The definition of keep is guard. The definition of keep is to defend. Are we defending the commandments of God? He says to watch over and maintain in good condition. And we will get to that later on. That's why we would like to emphasize keeping God's commandments tonight. Keeping the commandments of God. Notice he said that this was the, in verse 13, he said, this is the whole duty of man, which means it's the complete. A whole is a complete, it's a total sum. If you add everything else up, what God expects of us, this is it when it comes down to it. The bottom line, if you will. And when he said this was the total duty, or the whole duty of man, when you think about duty, you think about that being an obligation, something that is owed. And so we are duty-bound to God. We owe it to God. It completes us as a Christian that we would keep the commandments of God. And Solomon, in all his wisdom, in all of his majesty, in all of his understanding, when he came down to the end of it, he said this was the most important thing. Now, when you look over in John 14, in chapter verse 15, you find Jesus to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 23, he said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will make our abode with him. Think about that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These things go hand in hand, love and keep. You see that quite often in God's Word. We will mention that on more than one occasion tonight. Now, he said, if you love me, if you keep my word, we will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Here's an occasion of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because he said there, he said, my Father will love him and we will come unto him. Referred to him, him and the Father, and he said, we will make our abode with him, and they come and they live with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. If, he said, if you love me and you keep my commandments. Well, then what we need to find out is, what about these commandments? What about these? Let's think about it. God gave Moses 10 to start with, didn't he? Up on the mountain, he came back down, he had the 10 commandments given out. But then it wasn't long till there were dozens more commandments that were given to the Jews, a commandment upon commandment, and they were not able to bear those, and they were not given, never, as far as I know, given to us as Gentiles. They were specifically geared toward them, for them to observe and do, and they failed to do that, and there was a lot of them. I think about it, and I think how blessed we are that we're not under such a tremendous load as that. And it's not that the laws were bad. They were good. Everything concerning God is good. It's just man is weak, and he's not able to do all that. He's not able. That's why Jesus came. But so, all right, then we want to think about what Jesus said in Matthew in 22 and 36. When a young lawyer stood up to him and he said, what's the great commandment? Now, he didn't say, what's the only commandment? We tend to think, we try to say this is the only ones that count because he just mentioned two. But he just asked him which one was the biggest one of them all, which was the great one. And Jesus answered him and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. But then he went on, the man didn't ask for this, but Jesus needed us to know the fact that he said, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. So if you want to go back and you want to get everything that the prophets talked about, if you want to get all the law that was back in the Old Testament, if you want to bring it to the New Testament, Jesus said, if you do these, every bit of it hinges on these two. And certainly, when you think about those two, you've said a mouthful. You can say them pretty quick, but doing them and saying them is two different things. To love God in that fashion, it requires something. Now, what we're going to get to eventually is the fact that in order for us to be able to keep the commandments of God, there's something that will allow us to do that. When I mentioned a while ago that we do all those things yesterday, I dare say if we sit down and think about it, there was a lot more we didn't do than there was that we did. Day in and day out, that would be what we would find if we went down to the end of each day and looked back. We'd say, my, I sure did come up short in all these areas. And early on in my Christian life, I tried hard, and I'm still trying hard. We try hard to do as many things as possible as we're supposed to do, and don't do the things we're not supposed to do, but we need to know that there's more to it than that, that helps us in order to please God. And so when we think about that, we think about something over we find in Colossians, if you will turn with me there, and I'll slow down and give you time to get there if you want to turn. We would like to find in Colossians in chapter 3 and in verse 5 through 17. Jesus gave us the two. He said, this is the greatest one and this one companion to it. Then we find some expanded do's and don'ts that Paul has thrown in here in Colossians 3 and verse 5. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You know, a lot of people think if you don't take the Lord's name in vain, you're not saying bad stuff. He said filthy communication. That encompasses a whole lot. That takes in a whole lot right there. He said, you put these off, you lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in all knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarians, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, notice this, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love. Love is the bond of perfectness, sir. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in teaching, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, we can we see here that Paul, in addition to what we read earlier, now we've got a whole list more of, these are commandments. These ain't suggestions. When Paul said, mortify these deeds, that's a commandment. That is God commanding us to do something. When you see that, it's no ifs nor ands about that. And you go on and you see all that list of things we're supposed to mortify. Then you go down and you see another commandment. He said, put off these. And he gives us a list. That's a commandment. He says, lie not. That's a commandment. verse 12, put on, as the elect of God, put these on. And he lists things here. Another commandment. These are things God commands us to do. Solomon said, keep God's commandments. And then we say, well, how in the world are we going to do this? Because we're running into quite a few things here that God expects us to do. And so when we think about this, we go on down. He said we need to forgive one another. He says we need to forbear one another and do all these things that we do. And then you begin to think, well, there's commandment after commandment. It's like this is the set we're dealing with, where they had the set they were dealing with in the Old Testament. And then we find in 1 John 5 and 3, John says, for this is the love of God, the love of God, that we keep His commandment. And see, if we're looking at trying to keep the commandments of God, we've got to have some help, haven't we? We've got to have some help. Now, he went on to say, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That's important to know. When we look at everything we read, that's not a hardship. That's not a burden. That's not something that we should look upon as Christians and say, man, I just don't know why I should have to do that, or why I should or shouldn't do the thing. It's a list of do this and do that and don't do that and don't do that, and it's never ending. And we begin to think about it, and then we find where it said, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. They're not grievous. It's the love of God is to keep them. And if we get up every day with a laundry list of the do's and don'ts, at the end of the day, we're going to find out that we kind of missed the mark. We missed it. If we get up every day and we've got a list and we say, okay, I fed somebody today, I'll check that off. I mortified my uncleanness today, I'll check that off. And I fed somebody hungry, or if I clothed somebody, anything you want to name, and you check that off your list of commandments, that's not going to work. And it's, especially if you're a young convert in Christ tonight, you need to know that there's more to it than that. And even us, as like I say, I've been a Christian for over 40 years, and I'm still learning and growing in the Lord and realizing the necessity to be able to please God involves quite a bit more than just saying yeses and noes or doing things in a ritualistic sort of way. You know, that's just not the way it's done as a Christian. Well, then, what does God expect? The key words, again, are love and keep. Now, listen, love is a close, personal relationship with Jesus Christ that has to be maintained. And we'll get to the maintain part a little later. But it is. It's a relationship with. It's an individual. It's an individual relationship between you and your Savior. When He saved you, when He cleansed you of your sins, and you were born again, He filled you with His Spirit, and from that moment on, there was something there between you and Him, and that's something that's there every single moment of your life. And the important thing we need to know is there's a lot more to that than yeses and noes. Now, he goes on, Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, Paul said, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now I'm beginning to understand the mystery a little better. Now I'm beginning to think of it on the terms that I think Christ wants us to think on it about. Because He considers us the bride and Him the bridegroom. Is that not correct? Paul says, I presented you as a chaste virgin. In other words, I've espoused you to the one and to the only Jesus Christ, Son of God. Now, marriage, so it's like a marriage. And now I'm beginning to think, well, I can relate to that. Been married over 40 years too. I can relate to that a little bit. I've performed more marriages than I could count. Done one yesterday. Every ceremony. I'll tell the couple that marriage is a companionship, which involves mutual commitment and responsibilities. And you'll share alike. When you share a sorrow in your companionship, that sorrow is cut half in two. It's half. And when you share a joy in that companionship, that joy is doubled. And so when we're in this relationship with Jesus, and we've got a sorrow in our life, he's already there. When we've got joy, he's already there. In other words, he's already standing, waiting for us. He's done met his end. We just got to meet ours. But when you look at it as the marriage perspective, the way Paul mentioned here, and marriage is intended to be a permanent relationship of one man and one woman freely and totally committed to each other forever in this life. And that's what this marriage to Jesus is. It's intended to be a total commitment. A total commitment in this relationship. And so that's the way it's got to be with Christ. You know, when husbands and wives love each other, the way it's intended to be, they want to put each other first, don't they? Well, Christ has automatically put us first, and we need to put Him first in our life. As Christians, if you compare it to marriages, husbands and wives, they need to what? They need to trust each other. They need to share each other's experiences. They need to know each other. They need to depend upon each other. I'd like to read this John 14 again, 15-23. It said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now, I like to be honest, and we need to be honest. We need to be realistic. I'm more realistic than anything else. I don't look at the world like a fairy tale. I look at reality. And the reality is, we're not going to do all these things. You know it and I know it. Day in and day out, what I mean is, day in and day out, the opportunity to do them is not going to be there. Now, if the opportunity was there and God was helping us, we'd do them. But to do them all each and every day, we're not going to be able to keep them all day in and day out. That's just, and I'm not saying, well, we're going to just sin here and there. Don't get me wrong, and don't take that the wrong way. What I mean is, if we look at that long list Paul said to do, and we're going to get over into some things Jesus said to do, then we're going to find out that we're not going to be able to do all these things. I don't know if I left that part of my scripture or not. I think I did. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to read some more commandments in Matthew 25, if you want to turn there. Now I want you to think about the commandments from God. The two all of a sudden were more. Now we got more from Jesus. He just said that was the two great ones. He didn't say that was all of them. Here in 25, and you're very familiar with these, and I'm not going to leave it out because it's part of my message. And he said in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And behold, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on their right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of this world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And we might say, well, he didn't command us nowhere there. I don't see where he said you've got to go out and do this. Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. If you look at the consequences, I'd call it a commandment. Because the consequences of not doing it was, he said the ones that didn't do it, the ones that did it, the righteous said, well, when did we do all these things to you? He said, when you done it to these brethren. And then the ones that didn't do it, he said, they didn't do it. And they said, when didn't we do it? And they said, because you didn't do it to these. But the last thing he said was, to the ones that didn't do it, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, that clarifies to me that these are commandments. I'm supposed to do these things. Jesus expects me to do these things. And then again, you add that to what Paul said, and you go on, and I tell you, you can read, and there's no end to them, the commandments to be done. But again, it's like a marriage. It's a marriage between us and Christ. A good marriage between a husband and wife, we anticipate the other's needs, and we try to do them. And when the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, when they're living in us, listen, when these things come our way, tomorrow, when something comes your way, if you are in the right relationship with Jesus, if you're in this right marriage relationship, and the opportunity, God presents you an opportunity, you won't have to stop and think. You won't have to ponder, should I do this? How many times have I go by and wished that I had done something different? Simply because I've passed opportunities by that I could have fed that hungry person. I could have visited that sick person. I could have took 10 minutes out of a day and done this or done that. And those are the commandments that we do because we're married to Christ, because He loves us and we love Him. He instills in us the way to do those things. We don't have to ponder and think about it. We've already decided in our hearts the right way to go. And that's how it works in a marriage. A marriage, we know that we've got to be in tune with that other person. We've got to have that right relationship. And you know there's something else about marriage. I'm talking a lot about that, ain't I? There's something else about marriage. You know, two people, now they're one. The things the man did, there's a lot of those things. He don't need to be doing those. He's not doing those anymore. The things the wife did, she's not doing those things anymore. Now, they're doing the things as a unit, as a unified couple. And that's the way it is with Christ and us. We need to be looking at life from the perspective that we're doing it as us and Him, as me and Him, as you and Him. You and Jesus, tomorrow, whatever is being done in your life, it's not just you doing it, it's you and Him doing it. And He's going to make sure the laws that we can't do, we do. He's going to make, if we will lay that trust in Him, if we will lay that purpose in Him, and if we will have the attitude that, I know I can't do it, but I know that it's going to get done because I'm going to put it in His hand, and He's going to guide me, and He's going to lead me. And we're going to get down to a close in a minute, but there's one other thing that's important in marriages, they can become cold and indifferent. They really can. Marriages are like a lot of other things. They need to be maintained. There needs to be maintenance involved. Everything has to have maintenance. I'm a contractor. I maintain houses. They require a lot of maintenance over the years. You can't just build something and go off and forget about it and expect it to stay that way from now on. You need to attend to its needs. A car, you can't just drive it and run by it and drive it and run the wheels off of it forever. It requires some maintenance. There's some maintenance involved. A marriage, you can't just marry a husband or a wife and just expect that it's just going to always be like it was that first day. You've got maintenance involved. It requires attention and care. And being a Christian, living for God, requires attention and care. It requires maintenance. This physical body requires maintenance. And the older you get, the more it requires. And the longer it takes. It requires quite a bit of attention this body does as it ages. I'll steal a line from Governor Winfield Dunn. He said he got to the old enough to the point that when he reached down to tie his shoes, he looked around to see if there was anything else he needed to do while he was down there. And when you get to that age, you know your body's requiring a whole lot of maintenance and care. Salvation, believe it or not, our relationship with Jesus Christ requires maintenance. Jesus, we're not a steer or a calf. He don't throw a brand on us and pitch us out in the pasture and say, go on your way. He expects us to be in His face every day, and He expects us to come and talk to Him every day. One of the most serious problems with marriages, most people think it's money. I would say, if the truth, and I've done a little bit of counseling, I would say if the truth be known, communication is the bigger problem of all. Couples quit talking to each other, and listen, I can get in my car with my wife and go 3 hours and we not say a word, and that's not a problem. We're comfortable with that. But when there's problems, we need to be talking to each other. We need to work out when situations arise in a marriage. They don't need to go off and talk to somebody else about their problems. The wife don't need to go talk to her friends and tell them what's going on with the husband. And the husband don't need to run and gossip to his friends, but they need to sit down and talk to one another. And if we have a problem with our Christian life, we can go to our pastor, and that's well and good. We can go to a brother and sister in Christ, and that's okay. But the one we better be going to and getting out on our knees to and talking to is our Lord and our Savior. And listen, that's the expectation He has from us. And that's what makes the marriage work with God and with Christ our Savior. How do I know? Salvation, all these things are maintained. They're works in progress. It didn't stop when it started. My salvation didn't end when I got saved. That was the beginning of it. It's ongoing. It's continuing on. That's what Paul said over in Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my blood, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen to what he said. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus says, strive ye to enter in. Work at this. Make an effort every day. Put forth some effort. We're not going to drift. Drift goes down. You've got to fight the current and go up. And listen, in order to have a healthy relationship with our Lord and our Savior, it requires work on our part. When all that happens, at the end of the day, when God gives us opportunity to provide, to perform any commandment that He lays down in front of us, we'll make it and we won't have to worry about it. We won't have to decide. He will already have put it in our hearts what we need to do.